بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In this chapter, that a person should prepare more for his akhirah as he grows older. And in there, the second hadith we read yesterday of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that as a very young boy, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should let him sit with the great, great mashayikh, the great sahaba who took part in the battle of Badr. From there we gather that a person must not wait till he becomes old and then he prepares for akhirat, but as young as possible, as soon as possible, a person must make himself not only preparing for akhirat, exclusive for akhirat, that he has nothing to do with dunya and exclusive for akhirat. And then the true reality of deen opens upon such a person. As it is said with regard to knowledge, until you don't give your whole self to knowledge, knowledge will not give you one bit of it. A person with knowledge of deen is very ghairat man ghayyur. It doesn't allow partnership in it. A person when he gives himself wholly towards deen, towards knowledge of deen, then he'll get a little bit of deen, of knowledge of deen. Same way for deen also. When a person makes himself exclusive for deen, then he will get the reality of deen, the understanding of deen, the love of deen. And if he does it like adulterated, together with dunya, jais dunya, permissible dunya, then he won't get this reality of deen. He will practice on deen, he will know what deen is, but that love of deen, to be committed to deen, that he won't get. So for that, a person has to devote himself. And as early as possible as he starts, and this first hadith was to explain that Abdullah ibn Abbas, a young, small boy, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should make him sit in the mashuras of the big, big sahaba, because he had devoted himself and he had got the full understanding and love of deen. So there are a few more things with regard to this, where Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu referred to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, you know where he comes from. That is, he's the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like also when we speak also and somebody gives his view, we say we understand from where you come. That is what your thinking is, what your background is. Like that, Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, you know who he is, from where he comes, what his lofty position is. This means that he is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also his very great and comprehensive understanding of Islam. I did not make him just sit here as a small boy with the great, great Sahaba, but because of the great understanding and proper understanding of deen that he has got. Because he has devoted himself so much to deen, therefore what position he is now fit to sit with the great, great Sahaba. And this is a great distinction for a person, that is a small boy, not a young man, a small boy, and is made to sit with great, great Sahaba. Yeah, in this hadith also, the victory referred to in Surah An-Nasr, that is, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَالْفَتْحِ, the victory, the opening, the great opening, is the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Generally, that is what the Mufassireen write, that the conquest of Makkah Sharif, that was this fatḥ that is referred to, this or conquest. Others, ulama, say that it refers to other victories that the Muslims achieved, all the other victories, and when Islam just started spreading and people coming into Islam, huge, huge numbers from all sides. That is what it is being referred to, that this great opening has come now, this great success has come. The Surah An-Nasr is also referred to as Surah At-Tawdhi, farewell Surah. And the other meaning, which Hazrat Umar accepted more and which was more acceptable to him, was that it was not just the people coming into Islam, but rather it was an indication that the mission of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is over now, it has been achieved, and it is time for him to now say al-wida and leave the world and go back to Allah Ta'ala. Because it was an indication of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further commentary on this hadith, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to consult the senior sahaba of Badr in matters of importance. And this was not just administrative matters, but in the matters of deen, the knowledge of deen, etc., in that matters. And from here it is understood for ulama to have such gatherings is very advisable, where they discuss matters of deen, whether it is just ulama or the muftis with regard to fatwas, etc., or all the various categories of ulama in the various branches, where they sit together and they discuss all these matters. It only helps to increase one's knowledge, to get a much more deeper, better understanding of knowledge. In view of the profound and outstanding knowledge of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu included him in this council as well. And you see here that it is a matter of age and experience, etc., but what qualities a person has got. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a young boy, a man like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, allowed him to, not only allowed, but made sure that he is present in that gathering because of his profound knowledge of deen. When the surah was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon in which he said, Allah gave a servant the choice between this world and what is with him. When the surah was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a bayan and he explained that Allah has given a servant a choice that what is with him or that it is and what is with Allah Ta'ala. That either he chooses this world or he chooses to be by Allah Ta'ala. He chose that which is with Allah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the servant chose that which is with Allah Ta'ala, he did not choose this world. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried when he heard this and remarked. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also amongst those sahaba who had this deep understanding, and he also started crying at this. All the other sahaba were rejoicing that now Islam is spreading in the world and people are coming in huge numbers into Islam. But Hazrat Abu Bakr at that time already, he started crying. The Sahaba said, may our parents be at your ransom. Rasul of Allah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that may Allah Ta'ala accept from us and we be sacrificed for your sake. The other Sahaba was surprised that at Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's statement, as they did not understand at the time that the slave who was given the choice was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that servant, that slave of Allah has chosen to be with Allah and not to be in this world, Nabi Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu started crying and he said that may our lives be sacrificed for you, O Allah's Rasul. All the other sahaba were surprised that why is Hazrat Abu Bakr crying and why is he saying this, that our lives be sacrificed for you. They did not understand. They took the outward meaning that the spread of Islam, and that is something to be happy about, to rejoice. It's something to celebrate about, something to congratulate one another, not to cry at that time. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was blessed with that knowledge, And we all know what great status of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But the very, very striking thing is that a young boy like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also understood that. And he also had the correct understanding which the other great Sahaba at that time also did not have. They did not understand at the time that the slave who was given the choice was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They thought it's a general statement, not referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hazrat Abu Bakr immediately understood. And similarly to him, a young boy like Abdullah ibn Umar or Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also understood that. It is from this surah and hadith that ulama say that every good deed should be concluded with istighfar and praise of Allah. Any good deed that Allah gives us tawfiq to do, the end of it must not be like the West, how they celebrate, etc. They will have parties. They will have alcohol, liquor to drink. They will have dancing. They will have mixing of man and woman. That is not at all to go by as Muslims. When we Allah gives us something, some great work, then it is with tawbah, istighfar, and to thank Allah Ta'ala. That is how it must be brought to an end. Any matters of deen, a kitab gets complete, and now is the time to show our thanks to Allah Ta'ala. It must not be doing with laughing, joking, etc., but rather tawbah, istighfar. We don't know whether it is accepted. We beg of Allah for acceptance. The Muslim's way is completely different from that of the kuffar. The kuffar and animals have got a different way of doing things. We can't copy them and we can't follow in their ways. It is hoped that this will cause the mercy of Allah to descend and that the deeds will be accepted by Him. When a person does good deeds, at the end, tawbah, istighfar, and the praises of Allah Ta'ala. Just like when we finish our namaz, at the end, the last dua we read, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, that we are asking forgiveness for Allah, from Allah Ta'ala. Wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa an faghfirli maghfirata min indik warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. That we are asking Allah for forgiveness at the end. We have performed namaz, which is a great deed, but we are asking forgiveness because we can't do it properly. And the praises of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah gave us tawfiq. If those two things are there at the end of any amal, there is great, great hope that it will be accepted. That we ask for forgiveness, we couldn't do it as we were supposed to do it. And the other is that we praise Allah that I did not do it. You did it, Allah. You gave me the tawfiq. Just my name has come that I did it. But in reality, Allah alone is the doer. When a person acknowledges that, Allah loves it very greatly. In fact, it comes in a hadith that when a person, at whatever amal he does, and he says, Ya Allah, you gave me tawfiq, you did it. Then Allah says, but my banda, you also made your effort. And you, Allah Ta'ala speaks to him, and Allah Ta'ala consoles him. And when a person says, I did it, then Allah asks him, without my tawfiq, could you do it? Without me granting the tawfiq of doing whatever amal you did, could you ever do it? That's a reprimand from Allah Ta'ala. When we think, I did it, I have achieved this, and this I is very, very dangerous. Whenever it comes in anything, I did this, I achieved this, that is a sign of rejection from Allah Ta'ala. But when a person says, Allah, you did it, all, everything is from your side, forgive me for my shortcomings, that Allah loves very much, and it's greatly hoped that that action will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand our deen, to make amal, and to make amal is not enough. It must be done with ikhlas. And with ikhlas also, it is not enough. It must be done according to the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that also is not enough. It must be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. and that we don't know, so we keep on begging of Allah to accept it, and we have that fear till inshallah on the day of Qiyamah, when we see our amal accepted, that is the time we can rejoice now. And Allah has granted us our entry into Jannah, only then can we rejoice. Till then, a true mu'min lives in anxiety, in fear. I don't know if I'm accepted by Allah or not. There is no possibility for a true mu'min to praise himself, to go on boasting that I've done this, I achieved this. There is absolutely no place for a mu'min until he knows that now he has been accepted and is going to Jannah. May Allah grant us the reality of our deen. SubhanAllah. Thank you.